Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
One of our, if not favorite, segments of the week. We're joined now by the host of Send It In, Odyssey Sports betting insider PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. PJ, I feel like I haven't talked to you since, I don't know, the Open. When was the last time I had a chance to talk to PJ? And I know we're going to talk college football. I know we're going to talk NFL. But we've also got the wild card series happening right now. You know, we got the Tigers. We got the Guardians, Cubs, Padres. Of course, the Yankees with their backs against the wall tonight at Yankee Stadium. I just wanted to get your overall take on this wild card round, if there's anything that you like, any plays for tonight's action.
Yeah, I mean, great to have playoff baseball, guys. Danger, good to have you back. Good to talk with you. Today I took the Cubs in this game against the Padres, so obviously not off to a good start, down 1-0. But you can get a better price on the Cubs than you initially could pregame. They were like -115. Now you can get a bit plus money. So I do like the Cubs to win today and win that series. I like the Yankees tonight, you guys, against the Red Sox, but that's at -185 now. So I wouldn't take that. I kind of like the over in the game as well. I think we get some runs, so that might be worth a look. Nothing for me in Reds-Dodgers, and then nothing in this Guardians game. But Cubs right now live, if anybody wants to bet that, and then the over in the Red Sox-Yankees game. I think the winner of that Yankees-Red Sox series, you guys, I think is going to go to the World Series. I know Seattle's the favorite. They might have the MVP in Raleigh. They have a great pitching staff. I just can't buy Seattle as favorites. You know, for an organization that's usually never in the playoffs, for them to have that kind of expectation, I just don't want to bet them at the price. And then the Blue Jays, I know obviously in your guys' area, you know, there are some Jays fans there. They've had an incredible season. I just think now getting to this time of the year, I like the Yankees or the Red Sox a little better. So whoever you like to come out of that series, fellas, I would recommend maybe betting them to win the American League.
Yeah, PJ, it is the best time of year. We've got college football. We've got the NFL. And let's start with college. And so our listeners, if they don't know, you are an Alabama grad. Alabama. This used to be kind of the, okay, we're going to chalk this one up and get a W here. We can't say that about Vanderbilt this year. Vanderbilt, the Commodores are 5-0. They're getting points on the road this week. Are you feeling comfortable here with Alabama, or is Vanderbilt for real? How do you play this one, PJ?
Vandy's for real, Gino. They absolutely are. I mean, College Game Day is going to be at a Vanderbilt football game. We've come a long way in the year 2025. They are, they're for real. Their quarterback, Diego Pavia, has so much confidence, and it just feels like the team feeds off of that. Look, I mean, I've obviously talked about this game for a couple days now on my show, Send It In, and I've been listening to other people talk about it. And I think a lot of people are going to bet Bama this week, and they like the number now that it's at 10.5, but also the fact that they lost to Vandy last year, which you definitely like for Bama, that aspect of it. You know, they can learn from their mistake last year, the fact that it's at home. They've been much better at home with DeBoer than they have been on the road. But, guys, at the end of the day, like, all that's great, you know, that they can be more motivated and they're not taking Vandy for granted and they're going to learn from last year. Still got to go out there and execute. And the fact is, Bama cannot stop teams like Vanderbilt that are run first, you know, and they've just been struggling with it. It was a great win against Georgia, but, you know, I still have a lot of questions about that run defense, and Vandy is going to attack it. So The start is everything in this game. If Vandy gets ahead and they're able to play their kind of game and chew clock and try and go on 12, 14 play drives, Bama's going to be in trouble. If the Tide can get off to a good start and make Vandy play from behind, then they should be in a good spot. But anything north of 10, Gene, I like Vandy to keep it close.
Still feels weird to think of Texas as an SEC team, but I kind of dig the idea of Texas and Florida facing off this weekend and, these new rivalries that are kind of being forged with some new blood in the SEC. Tell me a little bit about why we've got Texas and Florida tagged here.
It's the number for me, Danger. You know, it's 7. I think it's a nice buy on Florida because if you look at the total, it's at 41.5. So this game could be a race to 20. And, you know, if you're giving me two elite defenses and you're giving me one of the best home fields in the sport and you're giving me the key number of 7, I'm going to take it with Florida. Both teams are off a bye. Arch Manning hasn't looked as great as a lot of people thought he would. And, guys, I mean, the truth is, like, Texas in these big games with Sark, they just have not put up points. If you go through and you look at some of the big games that Texas has played in, I mean, there are a lot of games where they've scored 14, 17, 10. It's just you think Texas, you think Sark, you think offense. It just has not come to fruition in these big games, and they're going up against a really good Florida defense. I think the fear is that Lagway is hurt. And, you know, he had 5 interceptions against LSU. He turns the ball over a bunch in this game, and Texas just runs away. But you got Texas in your building. You're off of a bye. I still think they're going to play hard. They got a very good defense. So I just think, you know, it's 7. It's a nice buy on Florida, so I like the Gators.
PJ, we got 2 ranked teams meeting, Miami and Florida State. And knowing the way you think sometimes, Florida State coming off a loss at Virginia. By the way, there will never be a better storming the field than what the Cavalier fans did last week. But that's, like, Florida State's a good team. They're still ranked. There should be a bounce back. And, hey, they're getting home points at home against Miami. Oh, Miami's coming in here. And, like, the square me would say, okay, this is Florida State getting 4.5 points at home, even though it's Miami. It looks too good to be true. PJ, what are your thoughts here about this matchup?
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, Gene. I mean, you're exactly right. I usually love these kind of spots where a team like FSU loses a look-ahead game against Virginia when they're looking ahead to Miami, and you get some more value on the team that lost, but that just hasn't been the case. You know, before FSU played Virginia, the line was 4.5, and now here we are, and the line is still 4.5. So I don't really think there's value on FSU. I wish it were like 6.5 or 7, and then I'd really like them. You're going to get a max effort. It's similar to Bama, Georgia, right? Where Bama had that one loss, Georgia didn't have any. You knew Bama would be a little bit more desperate. Same thing with FSU in Miami, where Florida State now has that one loss. They're at home, so they're going to be desperate. I think it's going to be a really good game. The Canes might be the best team in the country, you guys, in terms of like offensive line, defensive line combination. They're excellent up front on both sides of the ball. You just worry about the quarterback, Carson Beck, and the head coach, Mario Cristobal, and not knowing what you're going to get out of those two guys. So usually in these type matchups, when you're getting a desperate team and they're a dog at home, I would lean towards Florida State. But I kind of feel like this could be a game where Miami wins by a touchdown. I've gone back and forth. If you had to make me pick the game, I'd probably take FSU, but I don't think I'm going to end up betting the game. Just going to sit back and watch it.
PJ, I wonder if you have a trend to share about college teams and their record after they fire their coach. We're looking at Oklahoma State hosting Arizona. Mike Gundy out. And he's a man. He's 40. Yeah. But he's out of a job right now at Oklahoma State. And we're wondering what you like about this Arizona-Oklahoma State matchup that we can cash in on.
So that's exactly the handicap, Danger, is that last week against Baylor was the first game since Gundy's firing, right? They were in Stillwater, so that's the game where you rally the troops. You get that extra bump from the coach being fired. Now I think this week it goes back to reality a little bit, and you're getting an Arizona State team off of a blowout loss to Iowa State. So Oklahoma State is awful. Their defense is horrendous. There's a reason Arizona is a 3-touchdown favorite in this game. So I think they absolutely roll. I like the Wildcats a lot on Saturday against Oklahoma State.
PJ Glasser, your host, ascended in our guest here in the Sports Bar as we look ahead now to the NFL. And PJ, this matchup, two teams that had brutal losses. The Raiders, a blocked field goal. The Colts, A.D. Mitchell with that fumble or whatever you want to call it, just trickling out of his hand and a holding call negating a long touchdown. The question here is like, okay, two teams we expect to bounce back. Both of them aren't going to bounce back. And this was a game that we actually, for a half second, actually considered for Survivor, but we found better options here. So the line I'm looking at right now, the Raiders getting 7. How would you play this one?
So what I love about this game, you guys, are both of these teams coming in have two things that I always look for when I'm betting the NFL. The first one with the Raiders is a team that was favored at home that lost outright, and you get them on the road the following week as an underdog. If you would just bet that overtime in the NFL, very, very popular, right? Because we know the NFL is all about buy low, sell high. You're not going to get the same team 2 weeks in a row. So when you get a team who is at home and they were favored and they lose the game, the market's not going to be as high on them. But then when you go on the road, you're going to be much more focused and you're going to try and get that game back that you should have won at home. So I like that aspect of it from the Raiders. I like the fact that they're getting plus 7. And then with the Colts, I always look to fade teams for the most part off of emotional road losses, right? A game that you should have had, you were right there, and then you got to come back home. You got to think about it all week. It's funny, the Colts just played a team and the Rams who were in that spot, right? I mean, a brutal loss against Philly, go back home. Colts should have won that game. They should be 4-0. So now they come back home. They're laying a touchdown. Geno's in a dome this week. I like the Raiders plus 7. I don't know if they win the game, but I like getting the key number with Vegas. You know, at some shops right now, it's 6.5, 7. So make sure you shop, you bet if you like the Raiders or you can get the plus 7. But I do like Vegas in the game.
Did you just drop a 6-7? He just dropped a 6-7 on us. You hear him?
Did he do that intentionally?
I don't know if he did it intentionally or not. But, we were talking about that earlier, PJ. Gene had never heard 6-7 before. And Sean McDermott dropped it in his press conference today with no context whatsoever. So, now I've got a keen ear. I'm just listening for it all the time.
That's outstanding. I actually did not do that, but I'm glad it worked out that way. You know, just some cosmic thing going on throughout the sports bar today. I love it.
Giants-Saints. So the Jackson Dart era apparently has begun. You get the upset win against the Chargers, a West Coast team traveling east last Sunday. And now you go down and you play New Orleans at home, a New Orleans team that's, I think, pesky. I mean, like, they haven't won, but they haven't won because they haven't showed up. They were pesky, and they gave the Bills some problems on Sunday. Which way are you leaning here for Giants and Saints, PJ?
Yeah, I like New Orleans, fellas. So, again, ugly game, right? Two of the worst teams in the NFL. After the Giants upset of the Chargers, this line opened actually at Giants -2.5. And then all you've seen is Saints money come in because I think a lot of the professionals – and a lot of the sharp money is like, whoa, we're really going to make Jackson Dart a road favorite in the NFL. I understand he's playing against maybe the worst team in the league, but we're just going to do that off of one game. So I think that's what this handicap is, guys, right? Like, people look at these two teams, they look at the Giants, and they look at, oh, maybe they're a good team now. You know, they beat the Chargers, but in reality, they're not. They're not a good team. And there's a big difference in the NFL in starting on the road and starting at home. There's also a big difference when now NFL teams have some tape on you as opposed to when they don't. So Giants had a lot of things going for them last week. They were at home. They were getting the Chargers off of 3 straight divisional games. They had the element of surprise because there was really no film on Dart. Now New Orleans has a lot of things in their favor. And guys, like, look at the Saints season, right? Outside of the special teams debacle in Seattle, that really put that game out of reach. I mean, they hung with the Bills for 4 quarters. They hung with the Niners for 4 quarters. They hung with Arizona. So 3 of their 4 games, I mean, New Orleans was right there. I think they're the better team, and you're getting them at home. I like the Saints to win the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
PJ, in danger for that matter, we are not going to have another uniform matchup. This is the best uniform matchup, not just this year, maybe in years, when Tampa Bay and Seattle are basically wearing what they came in the league in 1976. It's going to be elite. I'm looking at this line. I'm like, huh, that I would have guessed maybe the Seahawks a small favorite, and it's actually Tampa Bay getting 3.5. Like, I know Seattle has a good defense, PJ. What are your thoughts on this matchup?
It is a little bit of an interesting line, Gene. I am a little surprised that we're getting the 3.5. And you know what? If it's a trap, I'm going to walk right into it because I do like Tampa plus the points. Guys, Seattle is a team, man. I love betting them on the road, and I love fading them at home. We think of Seattle, and we think of how great they are at home. We think of how great their home field is, and it's still a great home field. Their fans are still terrific. But under Mike McDonald, this has just not been a team that has won at home all that much, and especially against good teams. So I like Tampa. Baker's good as a dog. You're getting the better quarterback in the game. You're getting the key number 3.5, and you're getting them off of a home loss. So I do like Tampa in this game. I think they're alive to win it outright. But it is definitely a little bit, you know, worrisome that it's like, why it feels like this should kind of be like a 2.5, maybe 3. The fact that you're getting 3.5 now, I mean, the Bucs are still injured, but Wirfs was back, Godwin's back. Those guys are going to play again, and Bukum's still playing great. So I like Tampa, fellas. I like them plus the 3.5, and I think there's a good chance they win that game against Seattle.
And, PJ, the game that we've spent the most of our time talking about so far this week, that would be, of course, the Sunday nighter with New England coming in to take on the Bills. It's a divisional game, so nobody takes New England lightly. Plus, it's New England now, who looks like they have their quarterback. Drake May has been good so far this year, and the Bills have struggled against mobile quarterbacks, as we saw week one against Lamar, and against the run, which the Patriots can do well. So, which way are you leaning for Sunday night?
Super interesting game, you guys. And, you know, it's interesting to me. People were betting the Saints last week against the Bills, right? When I was talking to Gene on Wednesday, the line was 16.5. It closed 14.5, and I mean, let's be honest, none of the public was betting New Orleans, right? So that was some professional money that was coming in on the Saints, and they were right. And you look at this game, open 9.5, down to 8.5, down to 7.5 now. I can't imagine too much of the public is betting on New England, in Buffalo in prime time. So I think there's some professional money on the Patriots this week that like them a lot. I would look at Drake May rushing props because, to me, that is where I see the edge. Drake May scored touchdowns this year. He's used his legs a lot. I know the Bills are starting to have some defenders back at practice this week, but they're definitely still banged up a little bit on the defensive side. So I think Drake's going to use his legs a lot in this game. I think we could see some points as well. I don't hate the overlook. What I think is interesting is with Vrabel was with Tennessee, he was awesome as a dog against like the Chiefs and the Ravens, like the top teams in the league. He was really good as a big dog. But against Buffalo, like the Bills had his number pretty much with the Titans. So I think it's interesting how he wasn't great against Buffalo with Tennessee. He was great against some of the other top teams. We'll see how he fares with New England. But it's just scaring me laying the number a little bit with the Bills just because of how solid Vrabel was throughout his career with Tennessee when he was catching a lot of points. Divisional game, obviously. But the number is just interesting to me how it's gone down. So I don't have a play on the side, would lean towards the over, but I think how I'm going to bet the game is when those Drake May props, when they drop on these sites, I'm going to be interested to see what some of his numbers are for some of his rushing totals.
Yeah. The BetMGM model says that, at 8 right now, the, 59% chance the Patriots will come within that. The Bills will not cover. PJ, just wanted to kind of, take your temperature on this because every Tuesday on our show, we pick our surviving advance. And last week, there was no drama. We picked the Bills. The only question was, would they cover or not? And actually, if the Bills had scored a touchdown in the last drive, they would have. But Regardless, Danger and I disagree, so I'm not going to tell you who we went with. How would you rank, how would you evaluate the options for Survivor football this week?
So, to me, I think there are two clear choices. I think either you're looking at Detroit or I think you're looking at Arizona. I'm starting to lean a little bit more towards Detroit, though, but guys, there are two things that worry me about both games, okay? With the Detroit game, do you know that the last 21 NFL games where you have had a home favorite who has been a dog of 7 points or more, that team is 19-1-1 against the spread, including the Browns who covered against the Packers a couple weeks ago? Wow. Now, again, covering 10.5 and winning the game are two totally different things, but I found that interesting, you know, if you're thinking about taking the Lions. And then with Arizona and Tennessee – guys, I think it's similar to like the Bills and the Saints, where Arizona was 9.5. Now they're down to 7.5. And it's like, who in their right mind would want to be betting this Tennessee team? So I think both teams win, but don't be surprised if maybe both of the dogs potentially cover as well. If I had to make a choice, I think I'm probably leaning towards Detroit this week. If you want to really get nuts, though, fellas, I'm kind of maybe considering taking New Orleans as well. Because, like, when are you ever going to take them? I think, right, the Panthers play the Dolphins this week, and the Saints play the Giants. Four teams that you're probably never going to use, but they just so happen to all be playing each other this week. We talk about this, Gene, each week, right? Like, do you roll the dice? Do you just play it safe? I mean, at some point, you are going to have to roll the dice potentially. And I really do like the spot for the Saints this week. So I don't know if I'm going to end up doing it, but I'm considering maybe thinking about taking New Orleans as well.
I love it. Yeah, going for the kill shot. That's what PJ's doing there. He wants the kill shot in week five if he goes with the Saints.
I agree with him, though. The Saints are frisky. They're going to get a win. And, you know, the Giants, you know, there's some tape now on Jackson Dart and with no neighbors.
I'm just picking on a bad team. I know Tennessee is bad, but, man, Cincinnati looked really, really bad on Monday night.
They did, but, I mean, keep in mind, too, right? Browning was essentially on the road he was on the road in both games. They were at Minnesota, at Denver. They were going up against a great defense in Denver and a very good defense and a good defensive coordinator in Minnesota. So, the problem is, how is Cincinnati going to stop Detroit's offense? Like, I get that. I mean, Detroit, if they don't turn the ball over, they're going to be able to just name their number in that game. But I do think you're going to see Cincy's offense look better just because they're at home and they're not going up against as good as a defense as they've seen the last 2 weeks. But look, this is what the Lions do, fellas. Like, when they get hot and they get on a roll, Dan Campbell with his personality, like, he just doesn't have an off switch. We talk about letdown games all the time. You just don't get that a lot with the Lions because they only know how to play one way. So, again, there's a reason they're favored by 10.5. They're probably going to win the game. I do think the Bengals are going to play a little bit better, though, than what we have seen the last couple weeks.
That's always kind of the trick, right? You know Tennessee isn't that bad. We know Cincinnati isn't that bad. It's all about trying to minimize the risk and just get to next week. PJ, tell everybody about Send It In.
Yeah, guys, 1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. You can check out Send It In Mondays through Fridays on the BetMGM Network. Our show is on YouTube. It's on Twitch. We live stream it on X as well on the BetMGM Network account. So 30 minutes, guys. No commercial breaks. It's quick. It's rapid fire. And we're in the month of October, fellas. A lot of people feel like this is the best sports month on the calendar. All four major sports at one point will be played in the month of October. So awesome time of the year, and we'll be talking about each and every sport every day on Send It In.
I love it, PJ. Thanks for the time, bud. We'll talk again next week, same time.
Absolutely, fellas. Thanks for having me.
There he is, PJ Glasser, Send It In on the BetMGM Network, giving us his favorite plays, college and pro football this weekend. Great information there from PJ.
I personally would not recommend rolling the dice with the Saints.
It's a ballsy move.
It would be a real ballsy move, like the Lions or the Cardinals. For the reasons he laid out, though, about the Raiders, I would feel a little sketchy about taking the Colts, even though the Colts, the line 7, that would fit the criteria. We didn't agree on that, so there's better options this week. I think you're safe on the Lions, and I think I'm safe on the Cardinals.
Both things can be right simultaneously. Well, who knows? Maybe we come back on Monday, and we're both out of our survivor pool. That's the way the NFL works, right? Yeah. We got more next, including our buddy Fitzy from WEEI, our Odyssey Sports sister station. He's going to join us just over an hour from now during happy hour. We'll get his little preview of Yankees-Red Sox game 2, and we'll also look ahead to Sunday night with the Patriots coming in to Orchard Park. We have more on the way next, Gino.
Yeah, we do. Things that I haven't caught you up on, something happened while you were gone, and I need your opinion on this.
Oh.
Okay, so We'll go off the beaten path. We'll go over all the Bills stuff here coming up.
Maybe we'll get some regulars to join us as well at 866-4326. Pull up a stool, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.